I want to welcome everybody that's new here tonight. We're all new, aren't we? Oh, to God be the glory. We are new in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And all things have become what?
New.
But you got to be in Christ, right? That's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that separates the old from the new. Amen? Praise God. Lord, open our ears, eyes, and hearts. Receive what your Spirit says tonight. Let the meditation of our heart, Lord, the meditation of our heart be focused to you and acceptable and pure and true. That your will be done. In Jesus' name. To God be the glory. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, God is good. All the time. It's amazing when you begin to get in God's will how things change. And it's amazing how the enemy wants to resist you from getting in God's will. Amen? In every way possible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen, let me share something with you. God's will doesn't always feel good. God's will does not always feel good. If you're an individual that is going by how you feel, you'll be led astray by how you feel. God's will doesn't always feel good. Did you notice that when you do things that you know you're supposed to do, even though it doesn't feel good, but you know you got to do it? That's God's will. Hello. You know, we have to get to a point where, you know what? I can't go by how I feel any longer. I've got to come out of this arena of delusion of feelings, because that's what the world walks in. If it feels good, do it. See, there's an end-time delusion going on here. Amen. We talked about the falling away, and I want to start the scripture with last week's teaching, because I want to continue on with end-time delusions, because we're in them. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is everybody there? One of the great delusions that have been portrayed. Now, Satan's greatest weapon is what? So maybe some of the fruits of deception is delusion. What do you think? Well, if you didn't get it, get it. Because it is. And there are many false delusions, many false deceptions going out where actually people are getting involved. They're getting so caught up in what they feel that they begin to get involved in these delusions. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. So if the enemy can portray certain things that are delusions, then you become what he portrays. See, one of the things that the enemy wants to do is clone you according to his will. Even though you're a Christian, it doesn't mean he's given up. You know how many times people get excited about certain things and they find out later it wasn't God's will? How many times you almost married someone and you found out that wasn't the right girl or the right man? Hello? Many of us are still paying a price because of marriage with children, not according to God's will. That's why child support came in effect. And so forth. Does everybody understand that? See, but we sure had that delusion that this was the one because it felt good. Lust at first sight. The world portrays it as love at first sight. Love lets go, lust can't. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, verse 1. Brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be so shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you by any means, that for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, so we got to understand something, that the coming of the Lord, that day is not going to come, okay, until the manifestation of the Antichrist, is who he's talking about, will not come forth until the falling away comes first. Now, there's two arenas of the falling away. There's a falling away that represents the body of Christ and the church itself. And then there's a falling away of the Jew. Because Israel always has a part. Israel has a part of everything that goes on. Everything in the Bible is about Israel. Everything in the Bible is about the Jews and so forth. So we see that something's going to happen also with them in the falling away. Is everybody with me? So we are in a state right now where even the Bible says that in the last days many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So we see that we are in the latter days and the falling away is already begun. We are in the falling away. How long is the falling away? Only God knows. We'll know that when the Antichrist is revealed, okay, the son of perdition, we'll know that it's time for me and you to go home. Hello. Now, we talked about end time delusions. One of the things that we talked about last week was about the rapture, where there's such a delusion that the rapture, that there's going to be a silent rapture. And the Bible doesn't speak about a silent rapture. It talks about that we're going to be taken before tribulation. It doesn't talk about that. The Bible doesn't really specify specifically. Although it says that we're going to be taken when the son of perdition is exposed, when he's manifested. Well, the Bible says that mid-tribulation is when that's going to happen. It talks about the last trump, the trumpet that's going to sound when the last trumpet is in mid-tribulation. So regardless of that, I'm not here to, get involved in all the doctrinal things or whatever. These are things that I truly believe. And these are what I really believe that are end-time false delusions. Is everybody with me? You know, we talked about how people got granola and goofy and so forth. That, you know, they went out and got themselves in debt and all kinds of other stuff, thinking that they're going to be raptured before they had to pay it. Well, there is definitely end time delusions. One of the end time delusions is religion. Religion. Where people, there's an end time delusion of what it's called the spirit of error. Where people are, the body of Christ is actually divided in that arena and it's getting worse. And things are not getting better, they're getting worse. The word even says in the book of Matthew, I believe, or in the Gospels, that it talks about that brother will give up brother. And that brothers will kill brothers thinking that they're killing for God. That's a delusion and a half. That's called religion. Those are religious demons, antichrist spirits. Look at the delusion right now. You know, look at what drugs and alcohol does to people. Talk about an end time delusion. It's worse now than it's ever been, isn't it? I mean, we're seeing all kinds of stuff come out of the cracks of darkness. Because the closer we get to this, the more light is going to shine, the more darkness is going to be exposed. Amen? We're not here going to church. Church days are over with. It's not about going to church. God is bringing us into the school of the Spirit to raise up disciples and end time warriors so that they will not be tossed to and fro by doctrines of demons or trickery of men. See, because even you and I, most of us in here, were under false religion before we came truly to the truth. Does everybody understand that? We are caught up in all kinds of stuff thinking we are good people. But we didn't know the tactics of the enemy. We were in delusion. And there is a delusion that goes around even right now that people think they're going to go home because they're good. The Bible says unless you're doing the will of God, you ain't going home. Amen? Far be it that we have to lay on our sick bed and call out in the name of Jesus to get rescued. And miss all the fun. What? The fun of doing His will. No one said it was going to be easy. No one said it was going to feel good. That's the delusion. There's the delusion that people are being blessed with finances and all kinds of other stuff that they think that they're doing the will of God. But even the devil allows blessings to come, doesn't he? Tell me a rock star that's not poor. They're wealthy, but they're serving the devil, aren't they? Amen? So you can't judge by material. You can't judge by finances. You can't judge. You judge by fruit. That's the delusion that's going on right now. People are looking at people who are prosperous instead of looking at their fruit. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Would you turn to Romans 12? The falling away. We are in it, and this is end time delusions. Continue. Romans chapter 12. Oh, hallelujah. What's happening right now in this delusion time, and even in the times when Jesus was on the earth, one of the things that the powers of darkness want to do is bring people into bondage, into captivity. And that's why the Bible says the letter kills and the spirit brings life. Amen? You know, we get so many individuals that are so bound by the letter that they can't hear God. The only way that they hear God is by what they read. But they can't hear Him. The Lord was sharing me with this today. So many people are praying. While they're praying, they're going, well, you know what? I'm just praying about this. But you know what? God said to me, they're not going to hear anything. Because they don't know my voice. But the only way they'll get an answer is through the Word of God. But it's not always me that's speaking to them at that time. Does everybody understand that? So they're going to get their answer by what they read, not by what they hear. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, would you read it with me? And do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the mind must be renewed, amen? Made new, so you can prove God's will. The word renewed means to bring to remembrance. So everybody with me? See, the carnal mind must be replaced with the attitude and characteristic of the mind of Christ. Is everybody with me? What happens is the enemy tries to suck us in this delusion that we are to be conformed to the world. Hello? He brings us in, he puts us in this arena that we see other believers being conformed to the world and getting prosperous, so people begin to join them. That's a delusion, and that's an end time delusion. Remember last week we talked about false prosperity. Amen? One of the things that the enemy tries to do is to keep us in the carnal state instead of the Christ state, the mind of Christ. So what we begin to do is rely on our own strengths, our own feelings. One of the things God is really trying to do in this end time is to remove self. Self. Anything that has to do with me. Me. Me, 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 me. You know, people won't do something unless there's a reward in it. People will think, okay, well, what's in it for me? If I do this, what's in it for me? That's a delusion of end time. That's greed and selfishness. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Oh, hallelujah. The carnal mind must be replaced with the attitude and characteristic of the mind of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to be wimpy. Hello. You know, we talked about, I think it was last week, also about people searching for places because they want to hear what's good for them. You know, there's a false love. You know, the Bible says that be careful because people will preach another Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. My Jesus was no wimp. He didn't put up with garbage. He called them hypocrites. He rebuked them openly. He called them the children of the devil. I mean, come on, he didn't take no garbage. He didn't go up and say, oh, I love you. I know you're a sinner. I love you. He said, go and sin no more. See, he gave his life to express His love. Does everybody understand that? He gave His life to express His love. He just didn't go around telling everybody, I love you, I love you, I love you. He gave His life to express His love. But He rebuked, He exposed, He corrected, He chastened. And when He was accused, He didn't say anything. But this end time false love, that's what the Bible says, that they sit and they tell you that they love you and eat with you, but yet within them, they're wicked. Because their own desire is what's fulfilling for them and not the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, I sit with people and the Holy Spirit quickens me to these things. And there's so many times I want to tell that person, but He doesn't let me. Not all the time, though. Sometimes. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the what? Flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. To be carnally minded is death. That means your focus is not on an expansion of the kingdom of God or bringing glory to His name. The focus is on what's good for me. Oh, hallelujah. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, the carnal mind hates God. The carnal mind wants to come against everything of God. How many times have you sat in a Bible study or you sat in service and you kept sensing this, man, I don't want this anymore. Man, this ain't for me. This, you kept sensing this voice that just kept what you thought was your voice and your thoughts. And the enemy is just coming against it in every way. And the Holy Spirit's trying to penetrate and bring counsel, correction, and protection, and a change of heart. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If He is truly dwelling in you, if you're having fellowship with Him, your flesh will be crucified. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let me share something with you. Living to the according to the standards of the world. There's a delusion of living according to the standards. There's a delusion of doing business according to the standards of the world. The Bible said, come out from among them. Hello? Come out from among them. I do not do business according to the standards of the world. I do business according to the standards of the Spirit. Hello? Even when it's quoting prices, I may see the things before me. I may calculate things before me, but I lay them there and I go and I ask the Lord, what am I to quote? Because He knows what's going to happen. Hello? I don't do the things according to the world. And I'm not going to. Because if I do, I'll get myself in trouble. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Living delusion is living according to the standards of the world. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. So if you're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you're in fellowship with the mind of Christ. Amen? And He's going to tell you things to come. He's the one that's going to open the door and shut the door. That's where He puts us in the position where we don't rely on ourselves. We rely on Him. He causes us to get in these positions. See, you live according to the standard of the world and the delusion of the world when you don't allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. Hello? Listen, I remember when I was getting high all the time. Boy, did we have some big delusions. Whew. You kidding? We used to talk about all the kind of money we were going to make, the businesses we were going to open, the heists we were going to do, you know. And all the other illegal things and activity. We would spend days planning stuff. Then when we finally came to, we didn't have two nickels to rub together, and we were begging one another for a piece of bread. It was a delusion. The enemy still works the same way, even when you're sober. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 9. Glory to God. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His what? Through His Spirit. So does God love you? Yes. So He's going to reveal things through His Spirit, isn't He? For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Oh. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but He sure would like access to you, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Is everybody with me? The things that are freely given. That's why it's so important about walking in the Spirit. That's why, listen, you cannot walk in the Spirit if you're still associating with self. You cannot walk in the Spirit if you're still walking according to the characteristics of the world. You can't. Doesn't mean that you're not walking in the world, but you're not walking according to its characteristics and its standards. You're walking to the standard of Christ. That's why He's... See, the Bible even says even though you walk in the world, you're not a part of the world. So this delusion of walking in the world and doing the same things according to the world is a delusion, because you and I are supposed to be out of the world and walking according in the standards according to the things of the Spirit. We are here so that the enemy can be exposed, so that we won't get tricked in walking according to the standards of the world. Amen. We are in a Holy Ghost boot camp, officers training school, in the school of the Spirit. It's not about going to church anymore. You are not going to church. We are all being trained up continually. None of us here has made it, even the dude that's speaking behind this pulpit. He's certainly not made it. Not at all. But we're going from glory to glory, aren't we? Going from glory to glory. Learning the fullness of Christ. Learning the simplicity of Christ. Learning the character of Christ, so you and I no longer walk according to the character of the world, but the character that pleases Him. That's why it's so important about walking by faith. The world can't walk by faith. Oh, hallelujah. Are we still there? Oh, okay. Go to verse 14. Or verse 13. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we must have spiritual discernment. Amen. The delusion that there is no relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is what is really where I'm trying to get at with the Holy Spirit. That there is no relationship with the Holy Spirit. That is a delusion that has entered the body of Christ. That's why people are bound by the letter and not walking in the Spirit. They are walking according to the letter. They've given themselves the rules and regulations according to the Word. But when the Spirit says do something, they go, no, I can't. The Word says this. Now, God would never interrupt His Word, would He? But see, the problem is the delusion is that the word is misinterpreted, so it brings an individual into bondage. So the enemy will use the word and say, don't do this, the word says that. So that person isn't going to run across the street because the light is red. Yet the other person across the street is bleeding to death. But if I'm supposed to submit to all the authority of... Does everybody understand what I'm saying? But see, this is bondage. Believe me, I'll run every red light. If God tells me to run a red light to rescue someone or do whatever. Why? Because He has me covered. Do you understand that? This is where the importance of relationship is compared to religion. First of all, when God tells me to do something, I'm not bound by the rules and regulations of the world. I'm bound by the rules and regulations of the Spirit. He says, obey. See, the delusion has brought much of the individuals of the body of Christ into religion. Then they begin to teach in the area. Listen, it was brought back to me that I don't know what church, and it doesn't matter. And what it was brought back, that it was a business meeting or something. They wanted them to change their names, their businesses, so they can go undercover into the world. Is everybody with me? Now that's just plumb crazy. I would never change Covenant Builders into Weenie Builders, you know? Or something ridiculous. When people see Covenant, they all of a sudden get quickened that this is, of course, some of the, you know, the carnal ones, this is a religious organization. Yes, we're a religious organization. We're going to expose the demons that bind you. Hallelujah. But the first thing that comes to the number, think about it. When they see a fish on some business, or they see, the first thing they think of, cheap labor. See, the world thinks they can use a believer. That's a delusion that has been set forth by the believer. Hello? Because the believer has become weak and not bold. We should make more money than what the world makes. My daddy owns it. We shouldn't have to beg, borrow, and I'm not going to say steal because we're not going to. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Amen? But as a believer, we should be doing better quality work. Our standards should be higher than the world. One of the things, especially in the construction industry, it's not easy to get people to show up to work. Most of them are hungover, doped up, or getting ready to get high. Because the construction industry is wide open. When I was in the world, I used to supply all kinds of individuals and businesses. Car dealers were, whew, they were out there. But our standards and the delusion that, you know, the world looks at Christians as wimps. That they can get away cheap or whatever. That they can walk over them. And the believer just lets them. You know why they walk in that false love? Oh, Jesus said just love them. Just love them, and sure, I'll just stand in front of the car and you can just run me over. That's not my Lord. That's not my Lord. Oh, just forgive them and love them. I can forgive them. But I ain't going to hang out with them. And I'm not going to treat them like my brother. They're different. I'm going to love them, but I'm not going to trust them. Hello? If somebody steals from your pocket, are you going to turn around and say, oh, oh, that's okay. Go ahead, take my charge card and spend all you want. I'll just have to work an extra 80 hours that week. No problem. God bless you. Well, that's a real bonehead. That's not what God wanted us to be. He wanted us to be bold in Christ. I mean, listen, when people were coming against Paul, he didn't take no garbage. He turned around, loosed the hand of God, a person became blind. He turned around, you know what I'm saying? Cast the devil out from a distance. He didn't take no garbage. Jesus didn't take no garbage. This false love, foolishness. Love is not a feeling. That's where that foolishness is. Love is a choice. The Bible says, love your enemies. How are you going to love your enemies? So I'm going to go around and hug everybody that's strapped with a grenade? Oh, I love you. Here, let me bring my wife and kids over and we'll all hug you. And we can all go to heaven while you go to hell. No, that's not what God said. He said, expose your enemy. Amen? It's foolishness. It's delusion. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I don't know how we got there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Oh, to God be the glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great what? Say that again, would you please? Hey, listen, he didn't say boldness. He said what? Great boldness. Listen, you foul, unclean spirit. No, I'm not talking to you, brother. I'm just talking to that demon in you. We use what? Great boldness. Ooh. Great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their what? Minds were blinded. For until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in what? Christ. Or there's this delusion. There's a veil that lies over. Now, Christ means anointing. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And who's he say the Lord is? Now the Lord is the what? The Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Now who doesn't want you to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? The devil. That's why people are you know, they'll take and they'll read their scripture once in a while. Oh yeah. Well yeah, I prayed today, I read a chapter. That's not prayer. That's reading. You know, well, I'll read two chapters tomorrow. That's not prayer, man. That's reading. Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is speaking to Him. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not reading your Bible. Well, I read my Bible this morning and I prayed. No, that's not prayer. Prayer is speaking to God Almighty. And hopefully listening. There's a time to read your Bible. That's what the Bible says. Study to prove yourself. Hello? Then there's a time for communication where you're actually talking, praying to God, or intercession. Amen? Hallelujah. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The veil, the scales lay on the eyes of individuals. They are removed when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's why many times individuals who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they think that's it. I received the Lord, I'm born again, praise God! They're going ready to run out and try and kick butt on the devil, but they can't. The devil kicks their butt. Because they have no power. The scale still remains on their eyes. They don't know part two. They got part one. Accept Jesus Christ, repent. But part two is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with power. That's when the scales come off. The veil or the scales are removed by the Holy Spirit of truth. Amen. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to Saul, who became Paul. On his road to Damascus, he was driving a Harley, and he was on his Harley horse. And he was going to look for those who were the way of Jesus Christ, who were followers. And the Lord slammed him. He hit a light, and it wasn't red or it wasn't green. It was white. That flew him off of the horse. It was not a headlight either. And when he was laying on the ground, Jesus spoke to him and he said, "Who are you?" But the first thing he said, "Lord." So he acknowledged him as God. And he said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute. You're persecuting my people," and so forth. And he says, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And he told him to go to a street called Straight. And so he told him to get straight, man. And Ananias went over there to lay hands on him. And when he laid hands on him, and you can read this in, I believe it's Acts 9, the scales came off of his eyes because he got baptized with the Holy Ghost. See, now he is able to see. That's born again. See, when you're born again, you're able to see. But this delusion that we don't need the presence of God in our life is ridiculous. That's all you need is the Word. That's what the Bible says, the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. That's what, listen, if somebody never read the Word in their life, if they've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I knew a guy that couldn't read. His mother kicked him out of the house at the age of 14. So go ahead, listen to the Holy Spirit. This guy was on his own since the age of 14. Couldn't read. The only thing he is about 60-some years old. I used to pray with him in the morning. He was involved in ministry. The only thing he could read is what the Holy Spirit brought him to in the Bible. He's a multimillionaire. He feeds people and all kinds of stuff. And he's led by the Lord in business. He's a private investigator. So don't worry about it. You're all right. Hey, the Holy Ghost is a private investigator. Amen? He exposes your dirty laundry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you're with me, in verses 2. "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, or the truth or the message of the truth is veiled, because they're veiled to those who have scales on them, they can't receive. The mind is still coming against the things of God because the scale is not removed. It is veiled to those who are perishing." Ooh. Whose mind's the God? Who's the God of this age? Satan is the God of this age. He has blinded them who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." Satan is the ruler of the earth and he blinds. We are born in darkness and we come to light. When you are born again, the scales are removed. That's when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's why we encourage, draw, kick people into the presence of God, drag them in there so eventually they will seek God and they will get baptized in the Holy Ghost. The scales will come off. They become a brand new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. They're no longer bound by the letter. Their whole desire is to have the presence of God in their life. And then the Holy Spirit begins to feed them from the throne room through the Word. They're not searching the Word to find God. They go to God. God brings them to the Word to confirm who He is. There's a difference. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Yes, you're to read your Word. Don't get me wrong. But I do not get up and go to the Word. I get up and go to the real Word. Dad, I know you're there. You can't hide from me. I feel you and I move my hand. Everybody do this. Come on, move it fast. Everybody move this. Come on. Do you feel something? Come on, do you feel something? Yeah. If nothing was in there, you wouldn't feel it, would you? That's God. The Bible says that you live and breathe in Him. Now the world will call it oxygen because they're doing delusion. They'll call it air. They'll call it anything. They'll give you some technical, scientific formula what it is. Created on this certain day by a cosmic worm. But they don't know where the cosmic worm came from. It just appeared. Well, who allowed it to? Delusions. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. First Corinthians chapter 1, please. If it's not scientifically proven, I can't believe it. Well, you're not scientifically proven. They still don't know where you came from. They got a theory, but it's not truth. We did not come from an animal. We did not evolve. Or now, if we evolve from, what they believe, monkeys or whatever, apes and whatever, then your Aunt Thelma still ain't here yet. Hello? Because there's still apes around. There's still monkeys. There's still animals. Does everybody understand that? Where are you going to the zoo and visit Uncle Henry today? That's just plumb nuts. That's delusional. Hallelujah. You're bringing my care package. Bananas and ice cream. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Would you read it with me, please? For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Am I in the right station? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. What did I say? I said 6? I said 20. So you guys over here in delusion, come on now. And then you spread that around, didn't you? What did he say? 6? No, we're up. You see how quick it spreads? Soon everybody be on the wrong page. Then the carnal mind would come against everything we're doing. Hallelujah. Let me repeat that so we're all not in deception. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Praise God. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which were not to bring to nothing to the things are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You know, people still don't understand. You know, I talk with people and share with them about my experience with the Lord and my encounter with the Lord when He came to visit me. And they think, why you? Because I'm foolish. It says it right here. I was dirt. He took this piece of dirt and gave it life. He confounded the wise. You know, people go to college and they go to all of this stuff, you know, and they're still trying to find God. And all of a sudden God shows up to us. Well, wait a minute. What do I have to do? Go out and use dope and do all kinds of stuff to have an encounter with God? No, you just got to humble yourself. You got to step out in faith. See, because the world doesn't know about faith. They only rely on what they see, they taste, and they touch. See, they don't understand righteousness. They only know what's right and wrong. That's from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when they associate with someone that's eating from the tree of life, which is producing righteousness, They call you self-righteous. Who are you? Wait a minute, you're the one that's been on the streets for all these years. You're the one that's been in and out of jail. What right you got to tell me to do anything? I've been in college, I've done this, I've done that. Well, it's because I've been foolish and God chose me to teach you. Hello? Confounds the wise. But he says, it's not just the wise. He says, he confounds the things of the world. The wise. Okay. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Hallelujah. Amen? You know, like I said before, some of your family members and so forth are still waiting for you to fall. They can't get that you actually have been touched by God and changed. The carnal mind can't comprehend it. It will, though, when the scales come off of them. Amen? When they truly choose to turn their hearts towards God. All the way. Not just on Sunday. But to live according to the ways of the Lord. See, God does these strange things that no flesh show glory. That's why some people get upset when they say, man, praise God, whatever, something like, congratulations, I'll say, to God be the glory. So, no, you did it. No, I didn't do it. Come on, you're the one that changed that flat tire, to God be the glory. Yeah, but you're the one that went to school and learned all these things, but to God be the glory. But you're the one. No. See, God gives the talent. Even those in the world, which is delusion, that they got this talent on their own. I was just born with it. I was born with this talent. Yeah, I can do this. No, God gave you the talent. Hello. God gave you. He chose you to have that talent. You know, some individuals can really work good with their hands and all kinds of stuff. You know, some people can really work good with their minds. Amen? And so forth. But God gave talents. That's what He did. He gave the talents. We didn't earn them. So somebody can study. Would you ever know somebody in school, man, they can ace every test and so forth. They don't even have to study, and you're studying like crazy, and you get a D+. Hallelujah. And you're going like, man, I just don't get it. Well, just, that person's just been, God gave him that gift. While you're skimping by, of course, you probably haven't been studying all that much. But hey, listen, I knew this one girl, my wife was telling me, my wife studied hard when she was going through nursing school, and she was, one of her roommates or something was a pastor's kid, and she had this belief that if God wanted her to be a nurse, she would just go and ace the test. So she went and took the test, my wife passed, and she failed. Now that's just plumb crazy. That's called delusion. See, God give you the talent to use it, not to set it on the shelf. Amen? What you sow is what you reap, right? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. The whole purpose to the world is so that no flesh shall glory. So that you're not going to get any glory what's going on. Not you, all Him. Amen? Praise God. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And starting at verse 1. See, we were gifted to learn, weren't we? Everything comes from God. Everything. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. How many of y'all walked according to the course of the world? In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together, made us sit together in heaven. He what? He made us. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, say faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not the works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Before what? Before the world and the universe was created, that we should walk in them. Oh, hallelujah. By nature we are children of, but now we walk by faith. Again, I want to reiterate that the worldly human does not walk by faith. They walk by what they've been taught intellectually. They cannot discern the things of the Spirit of God because the scales are still there until they are removed. But see, even in the body of Christ, there are many individuals where the scales are not removed yet. So they've only come halfway. They haven't truly given all to Christ. They've come halfway. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Where are we now? Thank you. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be what? Found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. How many of you all been, you know, when you came to a point where you said, who am I? Why am I here and where am I going? You know? It's because God was drawing us. Out of His mercy and grace, He began to draw us, and all of a sudden, we began to groan. The groaning started with a simple thing of saying, who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? See, when that began to happen, you began to get drawn, and God was trying to position you into a place to remove the scales so that you could be truly come born again. And that is a position where it's no longer you that live, but He that lives, where you have dominion and power over darkness, where you're not walking according to the standards of the world, even though you're living in them, but you're walking according to the standards to Christ, where you are sensitive to the correction and conviction of God, when you know that what you're not supposed to touch, and you know you're not supposed to walk, you know you're not supposed to associate with, because you're to be pure and sanctified, set apart. Oh, hallelujah. For we are in this tent grown, verse 4, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now He who prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us a Spirit as a what? Guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, but we walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. And that's one of the delusions of the end time delusion, where people are not walking by faith. Even in the body of Christ, they're still relying on what they see. They're not walking by. They're not calling those things that are not as though they are. The Bible says it's faith that pleases God. Go to Romans 10 and verse 14. You know, even Hollywood, there's the Hollywood delusion, you know? There's a scripture I want to go to, and we're going to talk about this a little bit. But look at the Da Vinci Code that has come out. Talk about imparting a delusional impartation and corruptible seeds in people, in mankind, where individuals are flocking to the books to get this Da Vinci Code, which is nothing but an Antichrist book. It defiles the truth of God Almighty and the price He paid. And even believers are reading this thing. And it's nothing but a demonic book. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 10 and verse 14. Is everybody there? How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in whom they have not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher? And how should they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing. Listen, faith comes by hearing and the word of God, by teaching and by preaching the word. You know, there's such a thing right now where people are talking about positive thinking. Positive thinking is not faith. That's a delusion. There was a woman I was talking to on the phone a few days ago, and I was quoting scripture. She said, oh, that's good positive thinking. I said, no, that's called the truth. She said, how are you? I said, I'm blessed and highly favored. Appointed, anointed, and so forth. She said something else. I said, well, to God be the glory. I said, he makes a way where there seems to be no way. She goes, wow, you have such positive thinking. How long have you been a believer? Oh, 20 years, 30 years. Positive thinking. Huh? It's called the word of God that won't return void. It's not positive thinking. See, positive thinking is carnality. This is where there's so many carnal Christians. They're talking about positive thinking. They go to, what do you call those, motivational seminars. Oh, let's go get motivated. You want to get that motivated? Stick your finger in a socket and get motivated. Oh, they're not going to the presence of God and get motivated by the truth of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to get motivated to preach the gospel and expand the kingdom of God, not to motivate to build your own empire. There's a difference. Hallelujah, positive thinking. I almost threw up. Faith comes by hearing. The delusion of the losing of faith. People do not walk by faith anymore. They walk by sight. They walk by how they feel. Positive thinking. Motivational. Oh, you got good motivational skills. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. End time delusion. We're in them, man. I mean, they're being more and more expressed than ever. There's more quick schemes and how to get rich this and how to get rich that and motivate this, and it's all about self. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody there? And starting in verse 1, would you read it with me? But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of what? Themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. They deny the power of God. That's not walking in faith. You understand that? Walking in faith is expressing the power of God. But denying the power of God is walking in sight. Because people lose sight of who God is. In this arena of relationship, He's no longer just God. He's Father. Everybody got it? He's Father in this relationship. Mark 16, in verse 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. I told you, Jesus didn't take no garbage. He rebuked their unbelief. What's the matter with you? What are you doing? He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. The delusion that demons do not exist is phenomenal. They will speak with new tongues. The delusion that the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues is not there is delusional. It's phenomenal. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to go out and drink Sinai and test God, because you will die. And it doesn't mean you're going to go around looking for serpents to dance with. You will die also. And but they will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? They will recover. Hearing, believing. Now, the word believe means to what? Follow. Following and doing. The delusion of no power in Christ is so manifest. People are actually looking for the power of God, but they're looking in all kinds of places. That's where the enemy comes in with deception, doesn't he? Comes in with witchcraft. I didn't say the enemy doesn't have power, but the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy. It doesn't mean that he's not going to come out in false signs and wonders. Yes, it does. But he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Go to James 4. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 4. Praise you, Lord. James chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you're going to spend it on your own pleasures. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So God's not your enemy, you're his. Because your carnal mind is going to come against the things of God. The enemy is going to use you to move people out of position. Amen? So you become God's enemy. It says, or do you not think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Friendship with the world. Living according to the worldly standards is the delusion of pleasing man. Men pleasers instead of God pleasers. Amen? Go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the flesh. No, in the Spirit. Come on now. I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, or you desire, or you feel like. Hello? But you are, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I've told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice, such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ooh. Works of the flesh are worldly standards. The other delusion that people won't lose their salvation, alive, always saved. Well, I've accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, but I'm going to go out and serve the devil. While you choose to fornicate and do other kinds of things, you will not have access to the kingdom of God. Go to Matthew 7. That's a great delusion, isn't it? If you really see what's going on, even in the body of Christ. Well, you're always saved. Well, yeah, man, just accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you're saved. Go ahead, man. Praise God. Well, that's nothing but a lie from hell. We have a wonderful teaching called The Lie of Always Saved. Matthew 7 and verse 21, would you read it with me? It says what? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Would you read that again with me, please? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. The delusion of not losing salvation. Then why do people keep coming to Christ if they didn't think they were going to lose salvation? Amen? Then why did you have to repent and come back to the Lord? If you were once saved, always saved, then what'd you repent for? Amen? Why did you rededicate your life to God if you really didn't believe that you were on your way to hell? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6. What a delusion that is. That's an end time delusion. Big time. 2 Corinthians 6:11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections or desires or feelings again. Now in return for the same I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the living temple of God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The word therefore means if. If you will come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of reverence to God. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Hallelujah. It's Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Glory to God. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you. Everybody got it? Praise God. Listen, turn to Matthew 7 again. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Psalm 97, you don't have to go there, that we're to love the Lord, but we're to hate evil. And there's a delusion of really not hating evil. People pet evil. You and I are to hate drugs and we're to hate sin. We're to hate fornication. We're to hate these things. Hate them. Literally hate anything that's contrary to the will of God. We're to hate them. Doesn't mean you hate the person. Amen? But we're to hate those things associated with it. The Bible also says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's amazing how money moves people out of position so quickly. Man, they're willing to do whatever. They're willing to lie. They're willing to manipulate. They're willing to justify. They're willing to do all kinds of things to gain money. To gain money. It is the root. The love of money is the root to all evil. In other words, if money is first, if decisions are made by money instead of the character of Christ, hello? You have opened yourself to every evil there is. Does it mean you're going to get possessed that day and your head's going to spin and you're going to throw up green stuff? No. It means that you've opened the door to the enemy. Listen, the enemy is not stupid. He's not going to take you out that day. He's going to wait till you begin to prosper. He's going to wait till everything starts building up. You get reconciled to your family, all kinds of things. You're telling everybody about Jesus. He waits to see, he's going to use you to hit more people. Does everybody understand that? He waits. He waits to the maximum climate. where he can use you, yank that, cause you to stumble and bring shame to the Lord, to as many people as he can hit you with. Does everybody understand that? That's how the enemy operates. That's why you see many times when people get out of God's will and so forth, that something doesn't happen right away. You know? Sometimes it takes time. It takes time. Why? Because the enemy sits back and he waits to see how many... He waits. Now, you know, you got to understand that they're all fighting over you. They're all fighting over you to enter you, to use you, and so forth. So you've got the nicotine demon, the cocaine demons, and all the other alcohol demons, and all the lust demons, and whatever, and they're all wanting to get filled. They're filled. Amen? So powers of darkness are trying to hold back that you don't go into that arena really quickly. See, because they're going to wait till you get finances, until reconciliations and all the other stuff. But not all the time can they hold themselves back. That's why some people fall quickly, because they can't hold themselves back. Oh, hallelujah. In Matthew 7 and verse 15. Is everybody there? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now listen, this is talking about all kinds of things. Just not talking about somebody speaking about Christ. Has everybody got it? Like I said, the delusion of Hollywood, delusion. Da Vinci Code, that's a false prophet, isn't it? And those associated with it. False prophets. You know, they speak things of, oh, everything's going to be okay. Things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. No, they're not going to get better. They're going to get worse. And you and I must come out of the world getting better. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get better until the Prince of Peace touches his feet on this planet. Other than that, it's going to get worse. It's supposed to. It's prophetic. Things are happening. Destruction, famines, earthquakes, weather change, all kinds of things are happening. It's supposed to. So that mankind will begin to look up and not in the mirror. Amen? So these false prophets, prophetically, people, look at, what's that guy's name? Farrakhan or, I don't know, Farrakhan? He's a false prophet. He puts division into mankind. People who start up racial things and try to bring division. When God looks at us as all children, it doesn't matter what nationality or color of skin. But these are false prophets that begin to proclaim things. And their purpose is to cause division. Amen? That's a delusion in mankind. People get caught up in being busybodies, trying to manage somebody else's life when they can't manage their own. What a delusion. Try to counsel somebody else when you can't even take care of your own stuff. Amen? Those are false prophets. Oh, to God be the glory. Listen, just because it says false prophet, it doesn't mean that it's some kind of a prophet who's going to come dressed up, eating locusts and drinking honey. Hello? False prophets is going to come with a specific belief to cause division, to try to cloak mankind into the image of the enemy. Amen? Praise God. And I'm going to close at Acts 3. Oh, to God be the glory. Acts chapter 3 in verse 18. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you. Acts chapter 3. End time delusions. In verse 18. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of His prophets that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began. Amen. So it's a time to repent for associating with false delusions in our lives and on every area. Pride is a killer. Amen. The Bible says pride comes before a fall. Pride is associated with self-proclamation. Me, myself, and I, the trinity of Satan. I encourage each and every one of you tonight, get discernment, get understanding, get wisdom, get revelation in the time that we're in right now. Because we are in the arena of the falling away. Don't be so caught up in the world that you miss God's visitation. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We are honored and blessed that Your Word goes forth and does not return void. So Lord, we repent for anything of association with false delusions of this end time. We ask for the washing of the blood, Lord, releasing us from these entanglements, filling us with Your Spirit. And Lord, those who are even have been here listening or listening to a tape or CD, Lord, we ask that You'll fill them with Your Spirit to remove the scales off of their eyes, that they may receive the truth and the truth set them free. Release those who have been bound by religious opposition and fears. Lord, release those, Lord, tonight who have been bound by a false delusion of prosperity in the arena of willing to do whatever it takes to be prosperous and according to the worldly standards. But Lord, release them from those areas and position us all, Lord, that prosperity come by renewing of the mind, renewing of the soul, renewing, Lord, the things that bring into remembrance. Lord, we so desire that Your character be manifested in us and the character of the world be left behind. And Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one here. Let the seed grow and bear fruit for Your glory. And may the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.